City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and this is me, Will Batchelor, joining you for another episode of Take 5, the show which asks each day a different guest to imagine that their house is on fire, but in a nice way. Only nice, I suppose, because you get yourself out, you get your family out, I'll even let you get older Rover and Tiddles out as well, you get your pets out too, or in this guest's case it might be a bird, actually a bird of prey. We shall find out shortly, because today's guest is an ex Big Brother winner and a keen falconer in his spare time, and the main point of the show is you get to take 5 records from the flames, hence the name Take 5. You get to decide which 5 records you would choose to take away from the inferno, as well as a favourite book, a favourite film, a special photograph, and an object of sentimental value as well. So without further ado, let's find out what today's guest would take over the course of the next hour on City Talk 105.9. Craig Phillips, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Will, yourself?
I'm very well, thank you for coming in to talk to us about this. Don't worry, your house isn't really on fire. You've just got to imagine it. It would be. I'm sure as a qualified builder, you've given it all the treatment and that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah. Everything's fire lined, so it's fine.
Great. Hey, listen, what kind of builder are you anyway? I saw you ask one of the lads for a cup of tea earlier when I was just walking past. Yeah. And you don't take sugar?
I don't take sugar, no. I'm a healthy builder.
I thought builder's tea, you meant to be able to stand the spoon up in it, aren't you?
I've seen that happen before, but not for me, no. No sugar for me. I'm a healthy builder.
What do you call yourself nowadays? Because you could be anything from Big Brother winner to author now, because you've got a book out which we'll talk about soon.
Yeah.
I mean, do you still, when someone says, what do you still say I'm a builder?
Yeah, when I fill an application form, you know, or you're, you know, you've turned up another country and you're filling in a visa, I put builder down, yeah.
Is that your way of kind of keeping your feet grounded? Because I think you've coped with the fame of winning Big Brother better, I think it's fair to say, than anyone else.
I don't think so, yeah. Yeah, for me, you know, I have worked a lot on television. You know, it's been over 800 different TV shows I've worked on. So that you can actually say I've got a TV career in that. Mm. But away from that side of things, when I'm not actually doing any shows or series, I do my own building jobs. So I still, you know, build houses. And it keeps me feet very firmly on the ground. It keeps me up to date with all the regulations. And, you know, that way I'm sort of in the middle then. But on application side, definitely builder without the sugar.
So do you have someone then who's expecting to get, I don't know, an extension built or a garage built or something like that, and they've rung a firm, maybe someone's done it for them, and then Craig Phillips off the telly turns up?
Well, no, sadly that doesn't happen no more, no. When I run the building company before I went on Big Brother for 10 years, obviously, yeah, I advertised everywhere then and I wait for the public. Unfortunately, since Big Brother, I haven't been able to work for the public anymore, so I'll just do my own jobs, you know, in between the shows. If I can get an old plot of land or an old rundown house, I'll renovate it and spend a couple of months on it myself then.
Yeah, because there's all sorts of talk. Kim Hughes mentioned it earlier that you're worth multi-millions now, and that's fantastic, and congratulations.
Thank you. Is
your money coming from TV, or is it from the property side of things?
The TV's always been in good money, you know. The TV gives spin-offs like endorsements and personal appearances and things like that, so you do generally get a good income from that. Mm. And what I've done is I've put most of that into properties, so it's allowed me to buy rundown properties sometimes when you can't mortgage them. Mm. Then I've been allowed to do them up myself, and I still get, you know, business loans and things to do them up. And then when I get them to a certain level, usually, you know, I can mortgage them then, and that can help me buy the next property, and I can keep the ball rolling that way.
So have you been hit by the credit crunch and the slowdown in the property market?
Well, not for me personally, because all my properties, I don't actually sell them. I just rent them out. Mm. So I know it's been very hard for developers who have to build them and sell them, and it's been hard for them getting the fundings as well. Luckily for me, I've still been able to get the fundings in place. As for the media side of things, that hasn't really slowed down for me. You know, a lot of companies still use people like me to help them promote various items or various things, so they have to spend a little bit more money on the marketing and PR side, as opposed to building companies, you know, having to hold it back at the minute.
There we go. Well, I tell you what, we've got you for the next hour, and I'm glad to say on City Talk 105.9 is the home of great music and great conversation. This show is called Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and what we do when I eventually stop gassing is we find out from our guest which 5 records they would rescue from the flames of their house if it did go on fire. Craig's all right. He can just move into one of his other properties. He's got about 20 by the sounds of it. And the first
30.
Record...
30.
Let's get it right. The first record you've chosen, Craig, is Let Me Entertain You by Robbie Williams. Why have you gone for this one?
I think it's just a dead upbeat song, and I know Rob reasonably well. I've been to quite a few of his concerts, and he just comes out to it and it just gets the place exploding. So it's a feel-good factor for me, that sort of song.
I'm interested that you know Robbie, actually, because or Rob. I like the way you call him Rob, because, you know...
But if I'm with his mother, I call him Robert.
Is that right?
Yes, you cannot call him Robbie.
Well, you could say, I mean, I don't think, and I think you'll agree with me on this, that your level of fame, although it was huge, it wasn't as stratospheric as Robbie Williams enjoyed for sort of 10 years, undertake that. But you do kind of come from similar working-class backgrounds, and some would say that he's not coped with the fame well, and yet you have coped with it well. Have you kept your feet on the ground, Craig?
Yeah, he's sort of had his ups and downs, and I've had this conversation with Robbie myself, and I had a talk about it actually in my biography, but the difference for me was he spent 10 years building his career up in Take That, and it went massively, as you know, and then he had his ups and downs with that, so that was a lot for him to go through, and he'd worked all his life to be famous and be as successful as he was. I personally worked very hard at my building company before Big Brother and got it to a good level that I was happy and content with. I never ever had any ambitions to be famous or even work on television, but I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to be on Big Brother and actually win it. So, you know, all of a sudden I was catapulted up to probably the highest point, or my highest profile, as they call it, that I'd ever be.
And there was only really care.
I didn't really care. I didn't want it. There was only one way for me to come down, which, you know, I accepted that instantly. It wasn't a problem. So it was never, like, hungry for me to be famous or get publicity in different ways. Obviously, I got the opportunities as the TV career. I'm not stupid. You know, I'm a businessman. I worked real hard at them, and I still work very hard today, you know, and I sort of balance my time and things now on doing the TV and the building and various other things. So it's just, I think all that as a whole, not wanting it initially, is made it sort of last for me, I think.
I think you're spot on, actually. And you mentioned your autobiography. It's called Craig Phillips, My Story, Building Beyond Big Brother. I get it. Well done. Good fun. What struck me is that from this book, reading in the early chapters, you talk about your application to Big Brother. And although you had kind of gone looking for them after seeing it in Holland, seeing the similar version in Holland.
You've read the book, haven't you?
I have read it, first couple of chapters.
Good.
What's clear from the application process is that you were kind of saying to them, look, are you going to give me this gig or not? Do you want me or not? Because I've got a building firm to run. I've got 30 people. You filled out the application form in some cases with just one answer. It was almost like, I can't imagine nowadays a Big Brother wannabe contestant kind of knocking on the door going, come on, are you having me or not? Because I've got things to do. You didn't want it as much as they wanted.
Yeah, no, not at all. Obviously, you're right in what you say there. I did see it first in Holland. I wrote off and I went through the application stages. And then when I got down to the last 50 people, you know, I had 30 staff to worry about and I had different jobs on at the time. I had to put things in place. And I called them up about 10 days before and I was like, I need to know. One way or another, I need to know because I've got to put these things in place. And it was probably about 2 days after that they called me and said, you're the first person that would inform them, but you're one of the 10 housemates.
Which is fantastic. It was the start of your journey. And I tell you what, the start of your Take 5 journey is indeed Let Me Entertain You by Robbie Williams. This is the first record you, Craig Phillips, would save from the flames. We'll find out the other four coming up very soon on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation. And this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, the show which invites a different guest each day to choose which five records they would save from the inferno of their burning home. They also get to choose a book, a film, a photograph and a special object as well. And today's guest is Craig Phillips, author of his new book, My Story, Building, get it, Beyond Big Brother, and also, of course, Big Brother winner and celebrity builder, and call him what you will, really, he doesn't mind. And that was your first choice. Do you know what, Craig?
Yes.
When I saw it written down, because obviously you sent me the email saying what you were going to choose, I thought, Robbie Williams. You actually forget what a belting tune that is, so I'm glad you chose that.
Yeah, yeah, and when you're there in the audience with it, everyone is just pounding to it. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. And your friend as well. Although you're not, you don't see yourself as a celebrity. You were just telling me then during the break.
I don't like to be referred to that now. I feel a little bit embarrassed. But, you know, over this 10 years, you mix with so many celebrities. You get introduced on stage to this that you sort of put in that category. So I don't know. Just feel a little bit embarrassed.
Well, don't be embarrassed here because this show, the guests who are invited onto this show are celebrities and non-celebrities and everything in between as well. Because anyone with a story who's passionate about things, and you are definitely passionate about things. Again, reading from the book, you seem to have a boundless enthusiasm for whatever is put in front of you. When you're about 15, I think it was, you were given a job as a butcher's boy, a couple of hours a week, and a couple of quid pocket money, really. Yep. And a lot of teenagers, I think, would kind of go, oh, I've got a Saturday job, you know, might as well go along, you know. You seemed to love that job, and it seemed to almost be the making of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit of a turning point for me in life. It was shortly, I was only about 13 and a half, and a sad tragedy in the family, lost my father, and things weren't looking too good for me in school. And then I managed to get this a job at the butcher's shop, just 2 hours every night after school, scrubbing the blocks, cleaning up and working on a Saturdays.
Which a lot of people would see as boring, menial labour.
Yeah, but I absolutely loved it. I was working with older fellas. They were, you know, building my confidence up. I was having fun with them. them. And I was earning money as well, you know, I needed to earn money at that age type of thing. And it was just a real good turning point for me in my life. I'd left school then at 15 and ended up working there full time, you know, and I walked away without sitting any exams because I was having a real hard time in school at that particular time. And it was the right pathway, you know, for me.
You mentioned that you lost your dad. He was killed when you were 13 by a drunk driver. He was walking along, walking the dog and knocked down as he was kind of in the road chasing the dog, basically.
That's right, yeah, on Seaforth Road.
And again, that's detailed in your book. Do you think in a way, and it sounds like a crass way of wording this, that in some ways the death of your father was the making of you? It almost forced you to grow up a little bit and focus on what you wanted from life.
Yeah, very true. Well, it's... you know, no one wants to actually go through that, but, you know, when things are taken out of your control and there's not an option there, you know, you have to deal with them in different ways. And initially I went a little bit off the rails, like young, you know, kids would at that age. But then all of a sudden, you know, you have responsibilities. You know, I remember my uncle once saying to me, you know, Craig, you're the only man in your family now, and you've got to look after your mum and your sister, which is terrifying for a 13-year-old boy to do that. I was probably only about 4 foot at the time. But, you know, I was thinking, we're living in, you know, a rough city sort of thing like Liverpool. I've got to look after my family now, and I've got to earn money and things. And I started training, you know, started working in the butcher shop, and all of a sudden, you know, probably a little bit before time, but I'd become an adult, I think, you know, before my time.
Well, maybe whenever you ask people what their favourite film was, and you get to save a film from your imaginarily burning house, they often hark back to their childhood. Maybe you were too busy working in the butcher shop and doing all these things to have one from your childhood, like Star Wars, because you've gone for a relatively recent one, haven't you? You've gone for Meet the Parents.
Yeah, Meeting the Parents. I just think it's fantastic. They're a good, real good factor one. Whenever I'm down, I just bang the DVD on it and then watch the follow-up to it as well straight after.
That was Meet the Fockers, of course.
That's right, yeah. I wasn't going to say that, you know.
That's okay. It's F-O-C-K-E-R-S. We can say it on the radio. It's absolutely above board. Funnily enough, my mum, who's not from Liverpool, she was visiting on Monday when this show started, and she was listening to the first one, which was with Cherie Blair, who I know you know as well.
Oh, yes, you know Cherie.
And she was saying, my mum said, Cherie Blair chose The Sound of Music as her film, and my mum said, oh, I don't know which film I'd choose. I've never even watched any film more than once. I'm not that bothered. Oh. And they said, oh, I know I have. Meet the Fockers.
So there you go. Brilliant.
You and my mum, if you want, can have a DVD night. So
excellent.
That's the film you're going to rescue from the flames. You've already taken Robbie Williams' Let Me Entertain You.
Yep.
Let's get another song from you. The next one that you're going to rescue, Craig Phillips, from the flames is Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees. Is that because you wear one a lot?
No, I don't wear one at all. It reminds me, I only went to New York for the first time only a couple of years ago, just when that song came out, and it just came to be on the radio every 5 minutes, and it was, as I say, my first time in New York, and it's such a fantastic place. It's left me with real good memories.
Okay, well, get yourself mentally back in the Big Apple now. We'll have a blast of Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees. This is City Talk 105.9. This show invites a guest each different day to choose five records they would save from their metaphorically burning home. Craig's chosen two. We've got three more coming up, including one by the late lamented Prince of Pop, Michael Jackson, also one by the Killers, and also another by a local lad, John Lennon, called Imagine. You may have heard that one. They're all coming up, as well as we'll find out what Craig's favourite photograph that he would save from his house was, and also his book and his object as well. You've got to stay tuned for the object. I'm telling you, it's worth listening for alone. So we'll find out that very shortly on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation.
This is Take 5, City Talk 105.9.
Yes, indeed. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. And I'm in conversation with Craig Phillips, Big Brother winner, author of his autobiography, just out now in the shops, Craig Phillips, My Story, Building Beyond Big Brother. You did that on purpose, didn't you, Craig? It's just a tongue twister for people like me. My Story, Building Beyond Big Brother. And I tell you what, Craig, I started it last night and I'm already a third of the way through. It's a decent page turner. What did you do? Because you suffer with dyslexia. You're open about that. Do you have a ghostwriter?
I did, yes. I employed a ghostwriter to support me on it, and we had a good shop around because it's a very important thing, obviously, your autobiography. You only get one chance really in your life to do it, so we ended up picking a lady called Rebecca Cribbs, who run David Beckham's and some of the Spice Girls and things. So she had quite a good track record, and I thought I'll have a good few chats with her first and see if she captures my voice, you know, personally. And she done a great job of it.
Yes, and she gets a mention in the acknowledgements at the beginning, which I think you might need a separate book for your acknowledgements, by the way, because she gets a mention. I think half of Newport and Shropshire gets a mention. I think all of Liverpool gets a mention. It's almost like an Oscar speech. I thought you were going to start crying halfway through writing that.
It was real difficult, you know. It was really, really hard to do. And then as soon as I got the book, you know, we went over it, proofwritten in different ways. And then as soon as I opened the book up for the first time and I looked at the acknowledgements, I seen the Everett family, which is part of me family, the Maddox family. And then I thought, I haven't actually mentioned the Phillips family. I've just mentioned a few individual ones. Yeah. I'm like, oh no. But I've gone with about five or six pages. pages of good friends and other, you know, good celebrities and things who could become my friends in there.
Well, they all get sort of shouts out, don't
yeah,
they, in,
yeah.
in that awful DJ speak.
Well, again, having to do it was, I just had to pick who would I work with, you know, on various shows and things like that, and I'd become real good friends, because you meet hundreds and hundreds, but you just can't put them in there.
Well, I tell you what, they'll all be proud of their shout out in that. It does kind of show, doesn't it, that something like a book, although you've done a lot of TV work, 800 shows you mentioned, that they're kind of fast and furious and they're on and then they're off and there's so much to pack in.
Yeah.
A book is almost like a milestone in the career of someone like yours, where you do want to stop, take reflection and say thank you to people who've meant something to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the most interesting things I found out about it as well, it was real therapeutic, because I've done thousands of interviews over the years with radios and newspapers and things. And then all of a sudden you're talking about a thing where you just skim over in a couple of minutes. You're talking about for hours and hours and hours, and before you find, you know, you're practically in tears thinking, was I there? Did I really do that? Or did I go that place? And did they really say that to me? It's fantastic. It was really a good breath of fresh air.
It has been, and yours has been an extraordinary journey for someone who started out in very ordinary circumstances, same as everyone else, really. Working class background, grew up in Seaforth. You had that unfortunate, well, tragic incident of losing your dad at the early age. And then, but a lot of families go through tragedies as well, don't they? A lot of families kind of split up and regrow off in different directions, which is what happened to your mum. She found love with someone else eventually
and
moved down to Newport in Shropshire.
Yeah, that's right. She moved to Newport, Shropshire. That was quite hard for myself and Bev initially, you know, to see my mum sort of moving away. But we knew it was best for her, you know. She was obviously devastated losing her husband. And it was, you know, 2 or 3 years later when she met somebody and they moved away. So we wanted to support her in different ways. And then, you know, I found it when I'd finished in the butcher shop, I was about 18 and a half. It sort of come to a full stop anyway, because the butcher shops were all getting swallowed up by the big supermarkets. You know, they couldn't compete. So I couldn't see a long-term future there for me. And I thought, I'll have a travel around Europe and then I'll come back and live in Shropshire for a while.
And you had some good scrapes in Europe. I've got to ask you this as well.
I did.
I've got to ask you about Shropshire, actually, though, because you're very much a Liverpool lad.
Yeah.
And you said that when you went to Shropshire and were starting out in the building trade, you encountered the old boring anti-Scouse stereotypes about you're a thief and all that kind of rubbish. But also, I would say there's a national stereotype about Shropshire as well, where they're all a bit backward and kind of marry their cousins and that sort of thing. Do you get equally angry about anti-Shropshire stereotypes?
Not really, no. I never, ever felt that Shropshire was my home. I didn't, you know, settle down there. I made some good friends there, of course. You know, my business really come on well there eventually. But I never, ever call it my home. You know, I always knew most weekends I'd try and race back down to Liverpool to go out. I always knew this is where my roots were and, you know, my home and friends were, really.
Well, speaking of homes, Craig, I'm sad to tell you that yours is on fire at the moment, only metaphorically, you'll be glad to know. And you get to choose 5 songs. You've chosen a couple. We'll hear your third choice in a minute. But you also get to grab a photograph, maybe off the wall on your way out. Which one have you gone for?
I've gone with one with myself and Richard Branson, because when I came out of these Hero of Mine, and when I came out of the Big Brother house, I was collecting for John Harris at the time, and he's £250,000. And he asked, you know, did he want to support me? So I went to meet him, and we've got this fantastic picture. We've used it in the book again, where there's myself and him just having a good laugh. We're not posing for a camera, we're just having a good laugh, and he's reading through the Mirror newspaper, and there's a lovely picture of myself and Joanne Harris on the front of it at Liverpool at Anfield in the middle of the pitch.
Fantastic. And that's in the book as well, isn't
it? Yes, we've used the both pictures.
There you go. That will be the photograph that you get to save. And the third song that you get to save, Craig, as you dash from the flames, is Michael Jackson, The Earth Song. Why have you gone for this one?
Yeah, I think it's quite a powerful video, and I think, you know, we are all responsible for looking after our earth, and he was trying to do it in different ways. And I think the song sort of makes you open your eyes a little bit more about what damage we are doing to the earth, and hopefully make people look after it more.
Well, let's have a blast of it, shall we? This is Michael Jackson on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation, and this is The Earth Song. City Talk 105.9, that was Michael Jackson, of course, with The Earth Song. That was the third choice of Craig Phillips on Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, here with you until 3 o'clock when Peter McDowell takes over with Drive Time between, 3 and 7. And we're going through Craig Phillips' choices. That's what we do on Take 5. It's a show which asks you to imagine that your house is on fire and which 5 records you would grab from the flames as you flee it. Yeah, I know you could take your iPod, but listen, iPods don't exist in this virtual reality in which we live in. Otherwise, it would be a rubbish show and it wouldn't last very long. Craig, that was your third song, The Earth Song by Michael Jackson. You get to choose a book as well from The Flames. And the book you've gone for is, well, you can't choose your own.
No, I can't choose my own.
So I'm sorry, if you run out with your own book,
I'll let that burn.
Which is available in all good bookshops. It's called Craig Phillips, My Story, Building Beyond Big Brother. I'm afraid I'm going to push you back in.
Okay,
and
I can't.
I'm
going to
go
one.
Back in with your book. But the book you've chosen, actually, from a guy you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, I mentioned with the photograph where it's Richard Branson. Well, when I went into Big Brother in them days, you're allowed to take in one book.
Yeah.
So I was always a fan of Richard, so I took it in myself and read it all throughout my time in the Big Brother house.
It's mad, isn't it, to think that you used to be allowed to take a book into Big Brother.
Yeah, they don't allow it now.
No, I don't think they'd bother now. I think they'd like to take a mirror in, yeah, any of them, but not so keen on a book anyway. Maybe a copy of Heat magazine.
I was at the Big Brother house the other week doing, yeah, some commenting on the website. I was the editor for the day, and I read all the stuff, well, one of the chapters out of it, to a load of the staff in there, and I said to them, can I take it in the house and put it in the house with them? They went, no, we're not allowed books.
Oh, no, but as the trouble is, they'd used it as a coaster or something. Yeah, they wouldn't have appreciated
it. Quality read.
I must mention this as well. I know we're running over on time, so I'm being a bit naughty, but you were just telling me a great story when we were playing the Earth song just, yeah, then about, I was saying to you that you're one of the more recognisable Big Brother winners, and, yeah, some of them, they kind of merge into one after, yeah, a while, and you've been guilty of failing to recognise, well, one of the winners.
I know. Well, I was in a Big Brother party the other week, and it was a great one in London. We had this cornered area off, and there's about 20 or 30 Big Brother housemates. Everything was all going well. This one lady come up to me, and she was like, hiya, Greg, how are you? Oh, I loved you so much. And she was really complimentary at first, but then she went on and on. Then it was a photograph, then it was this, then it was...
And you thought she was just some dodgy stalker.
Yeah, there was about 10 photographs. It was getting a bit much, and I was with some friends, so I just give the security guard a little eyes if to say, can you just move, yeah, here to one side a little bit now? So he said, come on, love, you'll have to leave. You'll have to leave. And then all of a sudden, it was only Rachel, Big Brother 9 winning. It was her party. Oh. I threw her out of her own party.
Did she get back in?
Yeah, of course. And I was like, Rachel, I'm so sorry, I didn't recognise you.
That's the power of the Big Brother 1 winner, you see. You can't even recognise the others, yeah, just get rid of them. Take her from me. Take her from my eyes. I tell you what, I wouldn't recognise her if she said boo to me in the street. So there we go. You have my sympathy on that one.
Thank you.
This is City Talk 105.9. I have a great music and great conversation. We'll hear two more of Craig Phillips' choices for music he would save from his metaphorically burning home shortly, plus which object he would save as well. So stay tuned. This is City Talk 105.9, the home of great conversation. Between 2 and 3 with my studio guest, Craig Phillips. You will know him as the Liverpool lad who won Big Brother 1 and has gone on to do a host of TV work and media work, and has now got a book out, Craig Phillips, My Story, Building Beyond Big Brother, which is a damn fine read. And I might plough into it in a second again, Craig, but before we do that, the whole point of this show is you get to grab music from your burning house, yep, as you flee the flames. We've already heard you had Robbie Williams, Let Me Entertain You, you had Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees, and you had The Earth Song by Michael Jackson. Your fourth song is Human by The Killers. Why?
It's a sort of a driving song for this for me. Just the last couple of months, every time I got in the car and I was going somewhere good, it just kept coming on, so it's sort of set in there now. It's one of my favourites.
Have you got a flash motor? Is that a symptom of your success?
Yeah, I've got a nice car.
Can you tell us what you got?
Yeah, it's a Mercedes-Benz Coupe. Wow.
Was that one of the things? Have you always been car crazy? Or
not really, no. Time? When I first come out of the house, I did without a good car. Well, I had some sponsor cars. So I bought my sister a Mercedes car for a Christmas
very
present
nice
there. And then, I've been always happy running around in my Jeeps, because a lot of the time if I'm doing makeover shows, I'm bawling a load of tools and things
you
in the back of it.
You can't do a 2x4 in the back of a Mercedes Coupe, can you?
You can't, no. You need a big 4x4. So I've got both now, the 4x4 and the Jeep and the Mercedes as well.
There we go. Well, I tell you what, you can imagine yourself in your Mercedes now, and anyone else who's driving, this one comes courtesy of Craig Phillips. It is Human by The Killers, and this is City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, Human by The Killers. I hope you enjoyed that. If you're tearing around in this Friday afternoon traffic around Liverpool, Merseyside and beyond, of course, well, it's 10 to 3 now. So in about an hour's time, it'll all grind up anyway. As I'm sure my studio guest is well aware of, Craig Phillips, Big Brother winner, turned author. Well, I was going to say turned builder, but you were a builder before. Anyway, turned
always
celebrity builder. Always okay. A builder, as we know. A healthy builder.
Yes.
you'll know this as well, because you were saying to me earlier on that you spend most of your time now driving up and down the country. I asked you where your permanent base was,
yeah,
and you didn't really know, did you?
Well, when we do 60-minute makeover, we do 4 shoots a week, and we generally go to 5 different hotels. So, you know, I can end up doing 1,000 miles a week in the car driving around, and then sort of 5 different hotels, so different place each night.
You see, a lot of the kids, if I can use that patronising term, who go through Big Brother wanting to be TV presenters,
yeah,
and wanting to be famous, what they don't understand, I think, is exactly what you've just described, which is that even being famous and working in TV involves graft, doesn't it? And you were used to the graft before, and and that means you don't mind grafting afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. When I run my building company, you know, an average week, I could sometimes do 100 hours a week, and then all of a sudden, you know, I come out of Big Brother, frustrated into a different system, but doing all the hours and things like that, I picked it up no problem, just went with it.
But again, and this throws back to something I said at the very beginning of the show, you seem to have this boyish enthusiasm for almost everything you do, whether it's building or whether it's going on Big Brother, whether it's doing a task. Another thing that you mention in your book is falconry or keeping birds of prey. You found an owl when you. If you don't mind me saying, that story stank a bit when I was reading the book. Did you really find the owl? Didn't nick it out of its nest?
No,
did you?
My dog caught it. In fairness, yeah. It jumped out of the nest and was fluffing around, and I didn't see it. And all of a sudden, I had a boxer dog at the time, and I seen him run in the bushes and pull something out, started to throw it round. So I run over to stop him and realised, you know, this baby tawny owl all covered in slobber. So I rescued it.
You rescued it. You hid it in your wardrobe for a few days until your mum
found
it. The smell. And then it was your first building job, wasn't it? They said, okay, you can keep it if you build it a proper aviary.
Yeah, that's right.
In the backyard, which is what you did.
Yeah, built a little aviary, and it sort of led on to me getting my first job as well in the butcher shop, because I used to go and buy just a little bit of meat, 20, 30 pence worth of meat each day. And all of a sudden I come home one day and I had too much change, too much money in my pocket, and I couldn't work out where it was. And when I traced back my steps, they gave me too much money, so I went back and told them, give them the money back, and then they offered me a job shortly after.
It was your mum, wasn't it, who made you go back to
Well, she suggested, I said, what do you think I should do? She said, she'll do the right thing and take it back, and I did.
And you kind of saw a parallel in what happened all those years later when you did win Big Brother. Famously, you gave the entire £70,000 prize pot away to Joanne Harris as part of the appeal to raise funds for her to have a heart and lung transplant. And you almost, the same thing happened again. Your honesty has almost repaid itself tenfold, hasn't it? Because, okay, 70 grand would have been a nice amount of money.
Sure.
But if you had just kept it for yourself, you'd have been a normal game show winner, and you may have been forgotten or pushed to one
possibly
side.
Possibly, yes.
But I think the reason you were taken to the nation's heart was that not only did you win it in a certain amount of style as well, but then you gave the money away to charity, and that kind of pushed you stratospheric, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, it did go down well with the public. I wasn't aware there were so many people watching, you know. Over 10 million tellies turned on that night, and it was great because thousands of people sent money in to support Joanne's appeal at the time, and that's when, you know, people like Richard Branson and Chris Evans as well, you know, he gave me £50,000 live on air. You know, these people would have never have called me if I wasn't, you know, helping Joe. So it did open up doors for me, you know, and it created friends as well for me.
It does almost see, and maybe this is very clever editing or clever writing, but all the way through your life, you seem to take the right decisions. You seem to do the right thing. I want to hear if you've been a bad boy at any point. I mean, there's things that you
wait
hint
till
at.
You get about three quarters of the way through the book.
Oh, well, right, is there some dirt to
I
come?
Know you're only halfway through. Yeah, you just wait till you're through, and it's brilliant. Very honest. It is. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. We'll play another song, and I'll try and flick to that chapter while we're playing it, because your next song that you get to save from the flames, Craig, on Take Five, is Imagine by John Lennon. What's the story behind this?
It's one time I went skiing, the very first time, and I was going over to the Outback in Austria, and we all drove over in our jeeps, a big convoy of us, and we stopped halfway in Brussels, I think it was, and we stayed in this beautiful hotel, and we went ice skating, and it was this the most beautiful picturesque scene you can imagine it. Trees all the way down the side of one big long river which is frozen up, hundreds of people ice skating, and we were playing John Lennon Imagine at the time, and we'd had a couple of drinks as well because we weren't driving that night, we were staying over.
So
it was a fantastic feeling, and every time I hear the song I think of that moment ice skating.
Okay, well pull your ice skates on. It's not really ice skating weather at the moment. But here's a bit of Imagine by John Lennon on City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. This is Take Five with me, Will Batchelor, and my studio guest, Craig Phillips. We'll do this all over again next week with five different guests, because we do it every day between 2 and 3. And on Monday, my guest will be singer-songwriter Beverly Craven. You remember Promise Me, You'll Wait For Me, You Light Up Another Cigarette and I Pour The Wine and all that. She will be in the studio with me, picking which five songs she would save from her metaphorically burning home. Craig, we've had all your five now. We've had Let Me Entertain You by Robbie Williams, Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees. We've had The Earth Song by Michael Jackson, Human by the Killers. That was Imagined by John Lennon. You've also chosen your film, Meet the Parents. You've chosen your book, which is Richard Branson's autobiography. You were banned, by the way, as you know full well, from saving your own book, Craig Phillips' My Story, available in all good bookshops at the moment. And it is a good read. I'm going to get to the dirt later on. So I'll enjoy that with a beer tonight. And also, you chose a photograph of yourself and Richard Branson as well. You get to choose one more thing, Craig, before you flee the inferno. And it's an object, a special object of sentimental value. What have you gone for?
I would have to say my tool belt, because I feel naked without my tool belt. Look, you can see I've got it on here.
Yeah, you've got it. Imagine you're feeling for your hammer now.
I'm looking for my hammer, drill.
I'm glad you said that. If anyone could see what you were doing now, that would sound awful. So you're going for your tool. You must at one point have done a shoot naked apart from a tool belt, I'm sure.
You know what? Funny you say that. I haven't. I had an inquiry from Playboy when I first came out the house, but I didn't. But I might be in October doing a naked photo shoot for testicular cancer.
Yeah.
I might be, yes.
So who knows? Maybe the sentimentally valuable or two that will come out of that. And I know as well that may go down cheap with a new scheme you're launching soon, Chicks and Mortar, where you're going to teach ladies how to do DIY.
That's right, yes.
Absolutely. So they have that to look forward to as well. And you're back in Liverpool on the 23rd of July, Sir Thomas Hotel. You're launching your book, aren't you? But yeah. A star-studded party.
That's right, yeah. I'm going to have a star-studded party. I've got about 50-odd celebs that I'm going to be inviting down, and hopefully about 20 of the only good Big Brother housemates are going to be coming up. We've got a nice surprise entrance. Can't give too much stories away, but it involves Ricky Tomlinson, a builder's van, and a load of celeb builders in it.
The mind boggles. Before you go, Craig, got about 30 seconds left. Yep. You're a young man. You've turned to everything you do with enthusiasm.
Yes.
Do you see the rest of your career yourself being a celebrity builder, or have you got other plans in motion?
Well, no, I'll just keep ploughing on the way I'm doing the TV shows and doing my building things, and then one day I might try and start a bit of a protest to get schools teaching DIY all over the country as part of the curriculum.
You could be the Jamie Oliver of DIY, couldn't you?
That's what I'm going to aim for.
Absolutely. I tell you what, watch this space. You've got ladies, you've got kids, everyone's learning DIY. Craig, you seem like a nice guy when you're Big Brother.
Thanks,
when you
man.
Won Big Brother. You seem like a nice guy now. I'm glad it hasn't gone to your head, and I wish you luck with everything you do. Thank you for joining
Cheers,
us on Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. Home with great music and great conversation. Coming up next on the station is Peter McDowell with Drive. This is City Talk 105.9.